Nehemiah chapter 6 records one of the most trying and difficult periods in the life of Nehemiah. After securing his passage to Jerusalem and successfully commencing the work of rebuilding the walls of that city, this man of God faced a period of subtle and yet very sustained opposition. Nehemiah chapter 6 is essentially a chapter of conspiracy, a chapter of betrayal, and a chapter of intended compromise. It was bad enough for this man to have to face the lying slander and the wicked schemes of Sanballat and Tobiah, but it was something else for him to discover that some of his fellow Jews were actually negotiating with these men and thus undermining his service for God. In many ways, Nehemiah was wounded in the house of his friend. Men whom he thought were working with him were actually working against him. There was a very concerted effort being made behind his back, designed to lead him into an ungodly compromise and into an unwise cooperation with his enemies. You have that very serious incident there between verse 10 and verse 13 regarding this man Shemaiah, where he allowed himself to be hired, to be employed by the enemies of God, with the simple plan of trying to hinder Nehemiah in his work for God. It seems that this man Shemaiah may well have been a priest within the temple. He certainly had access to the house of God, and here he came to Nehemiah with the suggestion, "Let us meet in the temple." But the whole plan, the whole scheme of this man was to frustrate the progress of the work of God and to align himself with the enemies of God's people. And that kind of situation, where even a man of that standing was against Nehemiah, that kind of situation must have been heartbreaking for the man of God. It was enough to bring even the best of men into a state of utter despair. And yet, even in the midst of such betrayal, in the midst of these battles for God, in the midst of carrying this immense burden in the work, Nehemiah continued to labor for the Lord. That wasn't that Nehemiah was some kind of superhuman kind of character. It wasn't that he was unaffected by all of this, for the Bible speaks of him being afraid. It wasn't that he rested on some kind of personal power or inner strength that he had. Rather, the secret of Nehemiah's continuance in the work lay in the fact that he knew the value of carrying all of this to God in prayer. Nehemiah was not only a man of great action, and he was, but he was a man of great supplication. In fact, that's one of the outstanding features of the book. He was a man of prayer amid all his fighting, amid all his labouring, in the midst of all his encouraging of the other labourers. Nehemiah stands out as a man of prayer. E.M. Bounds, who wrote a series of books on the subject of prayer, made the comment that the men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He went on to say that prayer puts God's work in his hands and keeps it there. He followed that statement up by the statement, prayer is the language of a man burdened with a sense of his need. And all of those things you'll find here in the life of Nehemiah, in chapter 6 especially. Here his enemies have tried to fill his heart with fear. They've tried to destroy his zeal and his commitment to the Lord. They've tried to stop his work. They've tried to bring him down from the walls. But Nehemiah resisted their plans, and he relied upon his God. He brought the entire matter here in verse 9, verse 14 also. He brings the entire matter to God in prayer. There are two, as I've mentioned, two specific prayers recorded in the chapter, in verse 9 and then again in verse 14. Both prayers are offered quickly. Both are very brief. Both come from the heart, and both are the prayers of a man in need, and both are directed to God, and both receive an answer. Now that style of prayer that you have there in verse 9 and verse 14 is generally known as ejaculatory prayer. That is prayer that's offered from the heart in just a moment of time. A prayer that's offered even in the midst of other business. A prayer that's offered without actually coming away to a specific place of prayer or a specific time for prayer. Just a prayer that's offered from the heart in the midst of a time of particular need. And of course, that kind of praying is very important for Christian living. It's essential that we have times when we come apart from all the duties of the day and close ourselves in a closet or some place where we can meet with God. It's important for a congregation to assemble in a fashion like this, where we gather as a congregation and pray together. It's important that we call special seasons of prayer, like our week of prayer or a day of prayer. But there are times when the believer must and can pray, just as Nehemiah prayed here. The believer can always pray. He can pray in the most difficult circumstances. He can call upon the name of his God in every situation. And that's what Nehemiah does here. And you have examples of it in verse 9 and again in verse 14. Now those two texts indicate some very important things concerning Nehemiah as a man of prayer. And it's those things that I want to draw your attention to this evening. And I trust as we look at these things that God will bring us the very same way. And that we will nurture in our hearts and seek under God's strength and God's help to develop this, that we too will become men and women of prayer like this, that we will pray just as Nehemiah prayed also. But let me say a number of things about this kind of prayer that Nehemiah offers and what it indicates to us about Nehemiah as a man of prayer. Well, notice with me first of all that Nehemiah lived in close communion with God. The numerous references to prayer in the life of this man, and there are many references, all point to one very simple and yet a very supreme truth. And it's this, that Nehemiah was a man who enjoyed constant fellowship with God. When you read the outline of his intense prayer life, it's unmistakably clear that Nehemiah was not a stranger at the throne of grace. He did not live at a distance from God. He was not so taken up with his labors or so taken up with his life that he had forgotten about the Lord. Nehemiah lived in an atmosphere of godly fellowship. Though his enemies were all around him, though he was faced with constant dangers, though he was surrounded by this element of conspiracy and compromise, although he was surrounded by all of that kind of thing, Nehemiah lived in close communion with God. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, and in Genesis 6 and verse 9, you have reference there to Enoch and Noah walking with God. And the picture is of men who, despite their circumstances, because those men lived in very evil times, but men who, despite their circumstances, maintained a closeness to God as far as fellowship and as far as faithfulness was concerned. They knew him intimately. They enjoyed his fellowship. They met with God. They listened to him. They talked with God as friends talk. And there was a closeness between them and their God. And the very same thing can be said of Nehemiah. That's why this man was able to pray as he did. Because he lived in the presence of the Lord. He kept close communion with him. And therefore when difficulties arose, it was possible for him to cry immediately to God in prayer. Prayer was a natural thing to Nehemiah. It's not the first time that Nehemiah prayed concerning the work in Jerusalem. If you turn back in your Bible, and I think it's good to note these references, you turn back to Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, when he hears the report of his brother of the desolation of Jerusalem, he immediately prays. And it says in verse 4 of chapter 1, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then chapter 2 and verse 4, when the king says to him, as he talks with the king, "For what dost thou make request?" You have this statement, "So I pray to the God of heaven." He's praying in the midst of his conversation with the king. He's just offered a prayer to heaven as he talks with this royal figure. And then chapter 4 verse 9, you find him in prayer again when he hears about the conspiracy of Sanballat and Tobiah, who have come to hinder the work and fight against Jerusalem. He says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Then chapter 5 verse 19, when he has the difficulty of the unscrupulous Jews that are working against the other men, he says in verse 19, "Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." And we look at all of those occasions of prayer and all of those incidents of this man praying, one thing stands out. This man prays naturally. He prays as naturally as he breathes. No one had to urge him to pray. No one had to suggest to Nehemiah he might try prayer. No one had to exhort this man to seek the Lord. His prayer flowed naturally from a heart that was in communion with God. James Montgomery said, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast." Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. Was that not how it was with Nehemiah? When trouble comes, when something burdens his heart, he goes to prayer. He goes to prayer. He doesn't have to be coaxed or cajoled or challenged to pray. He comes to seek the Lord. Wasn't that how it was with Saul of Tarsus after his conversion? As soon as he was saved, it was said of him by the Lord, "Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth." That's how Ananias found him. He found this man at prayer. Prayer was enforced from his heart. And it was enforced from Nehemiah's heart. He doesn't have to stop and think about it. He's in such close fellowship with God that it would have been unthinkable for him to act in any other way. And oh, that it would be like that with us. That as we live day after day and come across situation after situation, we live so close to the Lord that it just was a natural thing to bring everything to God. Maybe some matter at work or some matter at home or some matter in our own lives. And sometimes the last thing we do is pray about it. But oh, to pray like Nehemiah, just as the need arises, crying unto God in close fellowship with him. You must also hear that Nehemiah had close communion with God because he understood the constant and the fresh and the open access he had to God. Nehemiah recognized that not only was prayer his responsibility, but prayer was his privilege. He understood that prayer was a blessing. He knew that the way was open to him. That's why he prays so quickly. That's why he prays so frequently. That's why this man prays so passionately. That's why he prays so confidently. It's not a case of him having to wonder if he would be received. It's not a case of him wondering would he have access to God when he prays. Nehemiah knew that he had access to God. And that's why at these occasions when trouble was there, he could just pray. Because he knew he had access to God. Not at all like the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. Remember, they prayed and there was no access. Of course, how could Baal, being a dead god, ever answer their prayer? But they had no way to prevail there or persist in prayer or gain their argument in prayer. But then contrast Elijah. He's on the top of a mountain. He's in a time of great crisis in the nation. He's put his very life on the line in this contest with the false prophets, but he knows that he has the privilege of prayer. And he knows that when he calls upon God, that God will hear him, because Elijah knew he had access to God in prayer, and therefore he went with boldness to God. Christian, let us remember the same thing. We have constant access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20. I think this is something that we often lose sight of, and we fail to remember. And of course the devil would have us fail to remember the privileges that we have, the right that we have as believers to come unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20. We'll read from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now it's spoken of there as a new and living way. It simply indicates the freshness of this approach, the openness of this access to God. And Christ hath consecrated for us this privilege. Now what does that mean, that word consecrated? It means that Christ has dedicated for us, or he has opened a way for us. And if you can put the emphasis on that little phrase, for us, this is the privilege of the Christian. This is the joy of the believer. This is what Christ has done for us. When he saved us, when he shed his blood for the remission of our sin, and saved us by his grace, we have this privilege to come to God, this way that has been dedicated for us by Christ, whereby we can approach God in prayer. And of course we can come to prayer and come to God in prayer at any time, because it's a new and a living way, because it's an open way, it's a fresh way. I know that when we come into dark times in our Christian life, the devil immediately comes and says the heaven will be closed to you. Prayer's a waste of time. And when we feel the Lord and we sin against him, the devil will most undoubtedly come and say, no, you can't pray. You've no right to pray. Look at what you've done. Believer, the way is open. It's a new and living way. And of course, the blood of Jesus Christ that secures that way for us cleanses all our sin as well. And Nehemiah was aware of this. That's why when he's in these circumstances that we've marked in the book already, he prays, because he knows he has access to God. And let us never lose sight of that. We have this fresh and open way to seek the Lord. Notice also that Nehemiah communed with God in a very familiar and what I term a very filial way. What I mean by that is simply this, that Nehemiah came to God as a child would come to his father. Look at what he brings to God. He brings to God in verse 9 the thought here, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. It's not a lengthy prayer. It's not a complicated sentence. He just comes and his hands have been weakened, or that's the thought of the enemy, and he just simply prays, Lord, strengthen my hands. In verse 14, he has something similar in mind. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. And he brings his circumstances to God. When he stood before the king in chapter 2, he wasn't sure how to answer the king, so what does he do? He just prays to God. Nehemiah is a man who brings everything to God, just as a child would bring everything to his father. That's why we sang the words of that hymn tonight. It commenced with those words, Abba Father. That's the privilege of the Christian, to come to God as our Heavenly Father. Romans 8 verse 15 underscores that truth. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. There's no need to fear as we approach God. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. How can we promote this kind of praying in our own lives? By remembering we're coming to our Father. Isn't that how Christ taught his disciples to pray and taught us to pray as well? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just like a son, just like a daughter coming to their father and bringing every little thing to him, so the child of God can come. And as he lives in close communion with God, that's exactly what he will do. As he lives in fellowship with the Lord, as he seeks to walk well with God and walk close with God, then we will bring everything to God in prayer. You think of George Mueller bringing the very needs of his orphans, their food, their clothes, their health, everything, just bringing it all to the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Nehemiah did that, and that indicates to me a man who lived in close communion with. He not only walked with God, he talked with God. And his walking and his talking sprang from his close communion with the Lord. And Christian, we ought to strive to do the same. To pray as this man prayed. To have close communion just as this man had close communion. But notice also, this prayer life of Nehemiah indicates that he lived with complete confidence in God. Not only in close communion with God, but complete confidence in God. Why does he pray so frequently? Why does he pray so freely? Why does this man carry every event that troubles him to the Lord? Why is he so quick to pray? Simply because he knew that without God he could do nothing. But that with God, he could do all things. It's very important to notice that Nehemiah was a remarkable servant of God. He was a man noted for his enthusiasm, for his energy, for his efforts. He was a man with a vision, a man with a burden. He was determined to press on with the work. He didn't want anything to stop him. He was willing to resist the enemy. But Nehemiah did none of those things in his own strength. He was just a man, subject to like passions as we are. He wasn't able to do this work in his own strength. His constant praying indicates that. His constant praying indicates that he depended upon God for everything. He had no confidence in his own ability, but every confidence in God's intervention. I think it's important to notice here that Nehemiah had confidence because he had a true understanding of God's person. There's something very important to note in the words of verse 9 when he says, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." You see, Nehemiah recognized that all strength was found in God. He knew that God was all powerful. He knew that while he himself was weak, and was made weak by others, that no such frailty existed with God. Here's a man, and he understands that all power belongs to the Lord. He recognizes something of the glory and the greatness of God's person, and that fact promotes his confidence in God. Whenever he was in need, he knew that God could supply his need. And while there were many things too hard for Nehemiah, he knew there was nothing too hard for the Lord. I'm convinced if we could see that, if we could see something and understand something of the greatness and the glory of God's person, we would pray with as much confidence and as much boldness as Nehemiah prayed. Here's a man and he's in need here. Right throughout the book you find him in need. And what does he do? He takes it to the Lord. Why? Because he knows the Lord is able to meet his need. He's fully persuaded that there is nothing that he could bring before the Lord that the Lord could not deal with. Christian, that's true for us tonight. There's nothing you can bring before the Lord, but you'll discover it's too hard for Him. And if we could learn that lesson and understand that with God there is power, with God there is grace, with God there is mercy, with God we find help, then we would pray that Nehemiah prayed. But notice also that Nehemiah had confidence in God because of his past experiences. Hadn't God answered his prayer in chapter 2? Hadn't God answered his prayer in chapter 4? God hadn't failed him then. God hadn't disappointed him. He had enjoyed a direct answer, which led to the continuance and the furtherance of the work. And right from the moment Nehemiah heard of the desolation of Jerusalem and made his way to the city and commenced this building work, God had answered prayer for him. Step after step, God had already proved himself to be one who answered prayer, one who could be trusted, one who was faithful, one who was reliable, one who was a remarkable friend and a remarkable help in times of need. And therefore, Nehemiah has no hesitation in going again to God and bringing these matters to him in chapter 6. His past experiences encouraged his confidence for present time. I'll take the time to read Psalm 59 verse 16, but you'll discover something similar there in the life of David. In fact, you find this repeatedly throughout the Psalms. David saying, "Thou hast been a hiding place for me, there has been a shelter, therefore I will trust in the covert of thy wings." And what David does, and what every Christian ought to do, is look back and see how God has answered your prayers, and then continue to trust in God to answer prayer again. God had not failed this man. Therefore, he brings it to God again. But not only that, let me say that Nehemiah had confidence because of God's great purpose, God's great promise, and God's great providence. Nehemiah knew that this work was of God. And he knew that he was in God's will. And he knew that he was praying in God's will. And therefore, he could come with confidence. He wasn't building alone. He had already testified in chapter 2 of the good hand of God upon him. He wasn't battling by himself. He had made prayer that God would come and stand alongside them. And he knew, as he thought on God's purpose and God's promise and God's providence, that he could depend upon God. Believer, that explains in part this man's life of prayer. He prayed because he knew that God would answer him. He had confidence. Confidence in God. And oh, tonight, that we would have the same. Even as we come to pray tonight, that we would have a sight of the greatness of God. Conscious that God has answered prayer for us before. God has answered prayer in his work before. It is undoubtedly God's purpose to bless his work. Therefore, of every warrant to come and seek his face with confidence. He had close communion with God. He had complete confidence in God. There's one last thing about this man's prayer life that strikes me, and that is that he lived in constant consecration to God. This man prayed, but he didn't stop there. He prayed and he built. You see, in verse 14, you have these words, "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and to the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear." So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. He prayed, but he worked on. He was a man who was willing to go through with God. And prayer is not the end of our walk with God. It's part of our walk with God. And here's a man who, although he is surrounded by enemies, and therefore surrounded by difficulties, he still wants to go through with God. He still wants to go on with God. He still wants to serve God. He still wants to labour for God. And so the wall is built and finished within 52 days. A remarkable accomplishment. A remarkable answer to prayer. And Nehemiah is still going on with God. In many ways, he is a remarkable man. And yet what Nehemiah enjoyed and how Nehemiah lived is what God would have us to enjoy and is how God would have us to live. And I trust tonight as we think on these things and think on this man praying in these circumstances, that when we find ourselves in times of distress, times of trouble, times when we need direction, times when we need God to intervene, that we too will be able to pray just like this. That we too will know what it is to be in that close fellowship with God, that close communion with Him, and have that bold confidence in God. And that as we pray, we'll go on with God and live that life of consecration to Him, carrying everything to God in prayer. Oh, that God would teach us to do the same. Here's a man who prospered as he prayed, and a man who prayed as he prospered. And may that be true of us as well, for Jesus' sake. May God bless His word to our hearts.